All of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, how many are happy this morning?
Amen.
How many are looking forward to the special meetings?
Amen.
How many are expecting God to do wonders in the special meetings?
Amen.
We certainly are looking forward, and God is going to be very, very gracious. Amen. Let's say God bless you, musicians. As we turn our Bibles, Brother Michael, okay, God bless you. We'll turn to the book of Joshua. The chapter is chapter 3. Joshua, chapter is chapter 3. The verse is verse 5. The book of Joshua 3, chapter 5. After the service, there is a rehearsal for the choir. Avail yourself. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Shall we read it together? This convention, bring a friend, bring a neighbor, bring a colleague, bring a friend. Amen. How many are going to do that? I saw the stats saying 80% of people repent, not because of a sermon being preached, but because somebody has a person-to-person discussion with them. Amen. We live in a time where people think that I can just drop this pamphlet, this person will read it and get baptized. That's laziness. Amen. We leave the pamphlet as a follow-up of a discussion. Amen. Have you seen your politicians? They do what they call door-to-door. Why don't they just say, we want to be on TV and broadcast, people will vote for us? Why are they going from house to house? Amen. They are stealing our approach. Amen. I've heard people saying, hey, pastor, we need a TV program or a radio program. The whole community, I say, you know, when a believer is lazy, they always want the excuse to use money. Amen. Why should we go to a TV when you've got colleagues, when you've got family, when you've got neighbors, when you've got friends? You know why? It's because if you testify to them, they watch what you say, and they're going to measure your life based on what they say. They know that you can't believe what you see on TV. TV can be staged. Amen. How many still believe in bringing a friend to church? Amen. Testifying to a friend. Amen. Telling a friend that I found the Lord. In the same way that I found the Lord, you can find the Lord. Amen. Let there it is. It says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I went to check the original. You see, the beauty about having a prophet. You see, I've seen people saying, is the message absolute or not absolute? Is the Bible? That's foolish debate. I'll tell you why is it foolish debate. The prophet of the hour even told us that the Bible that we must use, what Bible? What Bible, believers? He even went into King James in certain verses and say, here they got the interpretation, translation wrong. This is what it means. Hallelujah. And you are sitting there say, who is he to call? Because if the Bible was originally in a certain language, is it Aramaic? And later it was translated, and in Hebrew as well. Later it was translated into English by King George. It does not mean that King George understood. During translation, certain things can be lost. But you need the prophet that can go and connect with the anointing that brought the original statement. And he can tell you that as the translation rolled on, this is where they lost it. If you are bought by Brother Branham, we're really going to bore you. Amen. If the prophet bores you, we're going to bore you. Amen. And we'll be fine with boring you. Amen. Now, let us go to the book of Romans 12, verse 1. How many still believe in my prophet? Amen. I heard somebody say, is it necessary to quote Brother Branham? Have you seen when we quote Brother Branham, what do we say? We don't say Brother Branham said. We say Brother Branham says. Well, it's not a grammatical era. It says it means present tense. He's still a messenger on the stage. But we can say Moses said, Isaiah said, Martin Luther said, Brother Branham says. Hallelujah. Why? He's the messenger on the podium right now. There's a man that a lot of people love. His name is Louis Farrakhan. He's a leader of the Nation of Islam. One of the most known personality. He's a known personality in the States. Would be invited to funerals of celebrities. Every time when he comes there, he speaks to them about a man called Elijah Muhammad. And he says he's a student of Elijah Muhammad. Then I said, this man is so proud about the wrong messenger. How much more about me that I've got a right messenger vindicated by the... How many know Louis Farrakhan? Amen. We know better than Louis Farrakhan. Listen to him when he speaks about Calvary. The man gets it so wrong. So wrong. Amen. So we are not going to make the role of the prophet to dwindle. I'm a defender of the role of Malachi 4. You'll bear with me. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A reasonable, that means it's a bare minimum that we expect from you. That means it is doable. Amen. How many believe that presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is a doable service? And not only doable, but acceptable unto God. Shall we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are reporting for duty this morning. As mortals, we can read, but we are depending solemnly upon the revelation and the inspiration of the hour. May you be gracious, dear God, as I stand here. Help me, dear God, because as a mortal, I've got limitations. That is why I need the supernatural element, dear God, so that my humanistic ability can be put aside as we, the church, are ushered into the supernatural realm. For that matter, we want to commit the reading of the word to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats. I was thinking about what are we going to preach about this morning. And it is always somewhat difficult to preach a Sunday before the convention. Amen. But still, we have to preach. The reason is because people's expectations are quite palpable because of convention is not an ordinary service. Amen. A few people heard me on that one. Convention, are you going to help me preach?
Amen.
Amen. Don't go mum on me. Amen. Convention services are very special. They are not like your ordinary service. Amen. The reason they are not ordinary is because Brother Brown says conferences are called during a state of emergency. Conferences are called during the state of emergency. What is a state of emergency? A state of emergency is a situation whereby in which a government is empowered to perform actions that they would never perform under normal circumstances. What does it mean? That means during a state of emergency, I think those that have lived during the 60s, right through the 70s and 80s would know what the state of emergency is. The government can make or can issue out a curfew whereby they say, from 6 o'clock in the evening, we don't want to see anybody in the street. If you dare make yourself clever and be found in the street, you will be thoroughly dealt with. Because why? The president by then would have declared a state of emergency. So it caught my attention that if Brother Branham says conferences are called during the state of emergency, what does it mean? The church is allowed to perform certain duties that it would never perform under normal circumstances. If the government issues a curfew, believers can issue a curfew to the demons and set parameters for the demons and say, you are not allowed to operate here, you move over there, because a state of emergency has been declared. Amen. Now, our theme for the convention is consecration. Now, I've been quite restless in my spirit that, because the moment you put out something and say it's a consecration, people would ask, what does consecration mean? To some, they confuse consecration with repentance. To some, they confuse consecration with sanctification. It is not repentance. It is higher than repentance. It is not sanctification, because sanctification is what God does. Consecration is what a human being does towards God. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, consecration, a believer or an unbeliever can never be consecrated. An unbeliever has to repent first. I want somebody to follow this. God says to Abraham, he says, leave your people and follow me to the city to the land where I shall lead you to. He leaves, but he leaves with Lot. Brother Branham says, Abraham, although he was a believer, but he was not fully consecrated. He brings this element that he became fully consecrated when he separated from Lot. Are you still with me? Why? Because this was lukewarm. Hallelujah. I've not given you the title of this sermon, but I would imagine that this is just a prelude into the convention. This is for me, so that you get what do we want to achieve with the convention. Yes, we dress very well when we come to the convention. We fellowship, we eat good food. That comes with the territory. That is part and parcel of the conference. But there is a supernatural element to the convention. If you just look at the music, look at the food, look at the interaction with fellow believers, but miss the supernatural element, we have actually wasted time. Now, when we call a conference, there's a lot of people that come. Some would be coming out of town and would gather at one place, the next door, Protea Hotel, or what you would call Fortis Hotel now. Now, I'm not responsible for the visitors. Visitors come and go. But I'm responsible for this bunch. If visitor misses the supernatural element, I'm not accountable. But if you miss the supernatural element, I can deem that to be a wastage of expenditure wastage. Amen. Why? Because it has not achieved the intended purpose. How many believe that there is a greater purpose for a convention?
Amen.
There is a greater, we've got not to miss the supernatural element. And the reason we give it a theme is because we've got a goal that we want to achieve with the conference. And later after the conference, you would know those that have attended conferences, when you or attend a conference, you are delegates. And as delegates, you deliberate on issues. Then when you come out of a conference, there is what we call the resolutions of the conference. What is it going to be done based on what was discussed in the conference? Then in the next conference, we review what we achieved from the previous conference. And if we have not achieved what we were meant to achieve from the previous conference, then we get reduced to what they call talk shop. That means it's just talking without deeds. Now, we don't want the conference to just be a talk shop. We want conference to impact and change life. Why I'm saying a consecration? My desire is that post the conference, we must operate optimally as believers. When we say something operates optimally, that means it is used to the full extent to what it was intended to. So that means if God has put you here on earth, He's got a purpose. Then we want you to be able to live your purpose to the full extent the way God intended your life to be. Now, maybe somebody doesn't get it, but I will try to use an analogy. In Germany, they've got what they call, there is a German word for it. It just escaped my mind. Or maybe I can get it in my notes somewhere. If not, but it will continue. In Germany, there are highways where they don't have the speed limit. Stay with me. If you buy your Mercedes-Benz, you must drive it not more than 120, or your BMW or your Audi. However, in Germany, there are highways where they don't care about speed limit. You can really, really, really pump that vehicle to the maximum. It's allowed. Actually, in recent times, they wanted to, the parliament in Germany wanted to introduce speed limit, and it just could not pass. They've got what they call recommended speed limit. When you say recommended, they say it's advisable, but you can take this advice. But if you don't take it, you are not going to be in trouble. So that means your BMW, if you drive it here, you have never ever experienced the full, amen. You have not really experienced the full, the optimum performance of your vehicle. It's like the other time I was driving with a certain guy, his name shall be withdrawn, withheld. Now, he was driving a high performance vehicle. And we're driving 80, 100, and in my heart I say, goodness, only if this car could be left with me, I shall really, really orientate this car. Amen. I mean 100 kilometers per hour and N4. I'm like, oh, really? Amen. Now, I knew what the car could achieve, but it was not achieving what it was not being utilized to the optimum performance. Are you with me? But BMW, the manufacturer of BMW, is in Germany. The manufacturer of Audi is in Germany. The manufacturer of Mercedes-Benz is in Germany. Now, Germans, they don't have restriction on speed limit. That means in an environment where the manufacturer is, people are able to experience optimum performance. Somebody is getting the spiritual connotation to that. That means we need the people to come back and reconnect with their maker for optimum performance. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. That's what we mean by being consecrated. So that means you give out your all. You set yourself aside for a service that God is going to use me for a specific purpose. Therefore, I'm setting myself aside. Yes. Now, those that are athletes would know, weeks before the marathon, there is a certain routine that an athlete has got to adhere to. You don't just wake up on Saturday morning and say, I'm going to run Comrade Marathon. You're going to collapse and get admitted, and sometimes you may even die. You don't just eat your KFC and expect it to run. It will not work. There is a certain life that you've got to commit to that will allow you that when you participate in the marathon, you've got optimum performance. Now, if these things, they work on the natural realm, how much more on the supernatural realm? Even in the spirit, you can never operate as a believer to the optimum level unless first you separate yourself. And you commit yourself to certain routines that allows you to operate optimally. Are you still with me? I think here's the quotation. In the message, Early Spiritual Experiences, paragraph 28. Or before I get to there, there's a testimony that I got that I would want to read it for you. Testimony, I meant to praise God, not an individual. And the reason this person that wrote this email felt it's quite a lengthy one, but I will try to paraphrase it. But it somewhat resonated with what I would want to bring to you. Brothers, if you are struggling as to what is the title, the purpose of consecration. Amen. This person wrote and said, good evening, Pastor. Amen. I advise you, when you write an email, don't say good evening or good morning, just say greetings. Amen. Because if it's good morning, give it evening here, where it reaches them, it may be good morning. Amen. Did you get the tip, folks? Amen. It says, I've been struggling to get a proper job ever since I completed my studies at TUT in 2016. My dad is a sangoma. And he told me that the reason I don't get a job is that we didn't perform traditional rituals, which means to pray unto ancestors, when I left home early January this year. He also said that that God is the king and that I can't speak to the king directly. There are protocols to go by. But isn't beautiful to us? There is a rented veil. We can get direct access. So the father claimed the king has his people who have got to get the message from me and pass it to him. That is why he believes that I can't talk or pray to God directly. He said I have to pray to the ancestors so that they could take my prayer and deliver it to God because God is the king. When I told him that there is no scripture in the Bible to support his statement, he started saying, I don't respect him because I talk back to him. Then he quoted his favorite scripture, Exodus 20, 20, verse 12, which says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." He said, "We, my siblings and I, will follow his rules and do traditional rituals for as long as we are still living under his roof." That's when he said that my siblings and I must come back home during Easter so that he can bath us with some muti and say a prayer to ancestors and then our things will go well. We'll have luck and prosper and everything would be doing. Things got bad. He kept on pressurizing us, and the day it was set, Easter long weekend, this long weekend that we are going. But my mother and I had a prayer. The prayer was that God bless me with a beautiful, decent job before I meet with my dad, so that I can tell him that God has blessed me with a beautiful job. I ask God to glorify himself through my situation. I ask God to glorify myself through my situation. Amen. Those that were here on Wednesday, they know what we are talking about. I kept on saying the same prayer on a daily basis. On Monday, the 1st of April, the month that we were supposed to meet with him at home this month, I was invited to attend the interview on the 4th of April for a 3-month contract as an administrator under HR. I prayed about it and listened to one of the sermons you preached last year with the title, "Against All Odds." It really blessed me. I thank God for it. On Thursday, the 4th, I attended the interview. It took about 1 hour, 20 minutes. That's the longest interview I've ever had to attend. They told me that it would be unfair of them to take me out of a 12-month internship to a 3-month administration contract with no guarantee of a permanent job after. They said I have a big, risky decision to make. I went home. The next day, the 5th Friday, they called me for the second interview at 3 o'clock. I was wondering that, what is it that they couldn't ask me in the longest interview yesterday, but I knew that God was fighting for me. Amen. I attended the second interview, and the interviewers were increased from 3 to 5. They started by saying, "Tabang, like we said yesterday, it would be unfair of us to take you out of a 12-month internship just to give you a 3-month contract. So we had a discussion about you after you left yesterday. We have decided to give you a permanent job as one of the HR managers." As one of the HR managers. "You really impressed us, and we know you studied office management and technology. But we feel like you can do well in HR. We will teach you everything you need to know to perform the job." Amen. God is not going to promote you and leave you there. He'll promote you and support you. So God created a permanent position for me in HR without an HR qualification. They told me to go back to Johannesburg to serve my notice with Edcon since I'm an intern there, and they will wait for me. They even reimbursed me for my transport costs. Hey, this brother. I immediately took my phone after the interview and texted my dad saying, "Good day, Dad. The Lord Jesus Christ has blessed me." God was being challenged. If this young man could have not gotten the job, the father was going to say, "Your religion and your faith is useless." But because God can never shame believers, God can never shame believers. Brother, let me say, don't ever be afraid to bring God to a showdown. The young man was bringing God to a showdown. And good day, dear, to the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed me with a beautiful permanent job. He is faithful. And guess what after that? The traditional rituals that were to be done during Easter weekend were immediately cancelled. I'm going to start with my new job on the 2nd of May. I've seen God going against all odds. Amen. Prayer is indeed a keynote. This is what we expect. Brother Dali came into the office. I think Brother Francisco and Brother Grace would know he has been struggling to get a few things sorted. And then I know the fees even for the kids were way behind at school. And he came, he could see that the man was, you know, when a man cannot provide, it makes him to feel less of a man. And he came into the office. He said, "Pastor, look, things are not going fine. And I've come here so that you can lay hands on me." He knelt down. I laid hands on him. We called upon the name of the Lord. He phoned me yesterday and he said, "Pastor, because he used to work at Kusile and somewhat the contract was discontinued." And then he phoned me yesterday. He said, "Pastor, I have got a job. They are paying me double of what I used to get." Yeah. If this God can do it for others, maybe where you are, you can say, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." Yeah. As you respond to other people's prayers, respond to mine. I'm saying this God is alive. I don't know. Just looking. There's a sister that gave me a call. She'd been having an issue with SARS. And it was quite an exorbitant amount that she had to pay. Then she said, "I prayed, I came to church, and you prayed. I'm here, Pastor, to report that SARS said that debt that I owed, it has been cancelled." SARS doesn't just cancel, you know SARS. Amen. So it had to be the hand of the Lord. Why am I saying things that I'm saying? I feel that the bride, not only this church, but the bride universally, is about to enter another cycle of anointing before the rapture. Now, and I'm of the view that Satan hates what the phase that we are about to enter. And if you have observed, there's been battles in a lot of people's personal lives. Amen. There's been attacks that have been unleashed on the message. It looks like somewhat Satan is hard at work to bring a derailment. He wants to derail. I've observed even in this church, people that used to be bubbly, somewhat, some of them just went quiet. And the reason they went quiet is because of the storms that they were dealing with. Now, then that's when it dawned on me that before the breaking of a new day, it gets darker. But it doesn't, Brother Roman said, the reason it gets darker is because light is pushing out and darkness is conglomerating. But the conglomeration of darkness will not stop the rising light. Are you with me? That means battles that you are fighting is because the devil knows that you are about to get into a certain phase. Which phase? I want you not to lose the supernatural element. Which phase? The phase that God allows a man to fully act like him with the same powers that God has, but now no longer being activated by God, but being activated by a human being. Why? I feel we are getting into a season where the same power that Joshua had to stop the sun, certain individuals are about to possess the same power. Amen. Folks, it is the season. Brahman says we are coming into an era where if a brother needs something, he can go to another brother. Amen. Not God. He says a brother, a sister that needs something, can go to another sister and mention her heart's desire. And Brother Branham said, during that time, the brother will say, do you need rain? My brother, I give you rain. I give you rain. Why is it I? Because at that day, you will know that I am in the Father. That was another dispensation. The Father in me, another dispensation. I in you. This is the season of the I in you. When it is him in you, then you can say, brother, you need rain. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive rain. Amen. That's the scripture. Now, if we are able to give each other, if we are entering a season where we can give each other rain, that means we need to acknowledge who we are to each other. The reason the devil would want you to despise your brother or your sister and create and form a complex against them is because he wants to rob us of this season. We are differing and fighting over silly things. We are differing and fighting over silly things. Certain things that we disagree and fight about, when we go through the passage of death, those things, they mean nothing. Is there anyone here that has ever had a grudge or had a disagreement with somebody and that person died and you went to the funeral and as they were calling speak after the speaker to speak about the life of the deceased, you felt in your heart that only if they could give me a chance that I tell them what happened between me and the deceased. No one. At that moment, even if you were disagreed with the deceased, in your heart, you say it was not a big deal. Yeah. Why? It's because that moment is bringing a realization that what you were disagreeing over was completely useless. Are you still with me? In the message, Early Spiritual Experiences, paragraph 28, he preached this on the 13th, of July 1952. Brother Branham, even before I read this, he says, I don't have much confidence in a pastor's church that doesn't want to get to better themselves year by year. The reason we have conference, we want a spiritual betterment. He says in this message, he says, then Abraham, is it the right one? In 8, then Abraham, he preached this on the 13th of July 1952. Yes, it's early spiritual experiences. All right, no. It's me giving you a wrong title. You'll bear with me. It is actually Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 28. Normally I put the title of the spoken word at the top, but on my notes this time around, I've put them on the bottom, so you'll bear with me. Jehovah Jireh, he preached this on the 24th of February, 1956. 24th February 1956, paragraph 28. Yeah, he says, notice, then Abraham, he was happy about that, of course. He went on. Then we find out that there come a strife between Lot's headsmen and so forth. I want you to show you just a little thing here on the coming of the Lord just while we are in tonight. I'll try not to be late to get quickly to my point, but watch here. Just Abraham was an heir to the world, and Lot was a type of the lukewarm believer. He, Abraham, was a believer. He had left his homeland to sojourn with God, but always never fully surrendered. Never. Do you get, brother? Let me say, he was a believer, but all along, he was not fully surrendered. And that was the trouble in the full gospel church tonight, along with the rest of them, is people who have left the world, their world, and keep out of the world. They don't want to go to gambling and drinking and carrying on. They are a believer, but have never made a complete surrender. I want that to sink in. These people have left the world. They are not gambling. They are not drinking. They are not committing adultery. They are believers. But they are not sinners. They are believers. But have never made a complete surrender. Now, my question is, can you be a believer and not be fully surrendered? The prophet is bringing that element that it is possible to be a believer and not be fully surrendered. Let's read in this one, brother, in the message, Abraham. He preached this on the 8th of December, 1956. The 8th of December, 1956. Paragraph 49. I'm not going to be long. This is a prelude to the convention. So that when we get there, we have an understanding. Expectations are a breeding ground for a miracle. Paragraph 49. Now, Brother Branham says, this, do you mind if we read it together? Now, we mustn't walk at this or go at this with half-hearted attitude. That means when you are not fully surrendered, you do things with a half-hearted attitude. We must go with a full surrendered attitude.
We must go with a full surrendered attitude.
Folks, it will help you because Joshua says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow God will do wonders amongst you. But first, you must consecrate yourselves. We must come to church and listen to the Bible. And if anything is brought out of this Bible, believe it. How do you believe? You've got to have a fully surrender. This boy that we're reading about, whose father said, as a Sangoma, we've got to do certain rituals in this family for one to succeed. The boy realized, I cannot take my father's route, but I must bring something that will make my father speechless. I must bring something that must deliver the results that are beyond controversy. Amen. Now, how would the father explain that one moment you are an intern for 12 months, you're looking for a permanent job, you go to an interview where they tell you that we just only need a person for 3 months. But after they call you back and say, listen, after we have spoken about it, we are giving you a permanent position, not just, but as a manager. Now, even the reason the father canceled that, he knows that even his ancestors can never deliver such results. Folks, there are certain results that God can deliver in your life that will even shut the mouths of unbelievers. And here's the danger part. Before God does something wonderful in your life, he allows you to go through a phase where the skeptics have got something to say, where the mockers have got something to say, where your name gets degraded. Then after everybody has spoken, he's watching, what are you going to do? Then right there, it is a moment for you to fully surrender. And after you have surrendered, God does deliver the results. On Wednesday, those that were here, not here, just to help you, we're speaking on the book of Job. And we say, when you look at the book of Job, paragraph chapter 1 and chapter 2, it gives the background of what happened in the life of Job. But from the 30th chapter until the 38th chapter, it is Job and his friends debating. It is where they come and give accusations. And one of the first friends said, look, you have advised many, you have strengthened many, you have done quite a lot of things that are marvelous, but look at you today. Things that you have done for others, you are failing at the very test. Now, until the friends of Job derailed Job, because now they were bringing accusation, Job got into the corner and felt that his back is against the wall. Now he's got to defend himself. Then he begins to say, in order to respond to the accusation, he brings himself, he justifies himself. And the more he justifies himself, he makes God to seem like God is unjust. And as long as he did that, for a number of chapters, God was not coming in. It is only when a young man called Elihu, who came in and said, Job, this is not about you. Friends, this is not about this, because this man has done sin. Then he's bringing the whole discussion and he puts everything and he centralizes everything back on the sovereignty of God. And right there, God begins to come in. After Job repented, after Job consecrated himself, after Job prayed for his friends, then God came in. Are you still with me? What does it mean? Somebody can say, if we consecrate, is there a need? Yes, there is a need. Most of our souls are polluted. Some with jealousy, some with complex, some with unforgiving spirit.
Because,
and some rightly so, they did this to me, and they've hurt me, they've spoken bad about me. But it doesn't mean that you need to go to their level. You need to come up higher. Amen. Are you still with me? Now, brother. Okay. No, the same scripture, the same one. Is it Abraham? Yes, the same one. Just go down. Just go down. If not there, I've got it here on my notes. Brother Branham says, or in the message, Exodus, he preached this on the 15th of June, 1956. 1956 on June. I don't have the paragraph, but he speaks, he says, that's what it is today. The reason people don't get very much today is because it's irreverent. It's the irreverence you approach it. You've got to come to it with a full, surrendered, made-up mind. When you come to God, don't just come haphazardly. There we go. Don't just haphazardly come and beat on the altar and chew the chewing gum. Sometimes I preach it during the service as I travel. You find that the sermon is going on, somebody's really enjoying chippies. Right in the service. Then you wonder, what used to happen, teachers, when young ones used to chew chewing gum? The teacher used to do what? Call them in the front and put it around the head. Amen. I think pastors need to do that sometime. Amen. Chewing a gum, it's a symptom of lack of reference. To a certain thing, disrespect. What makes the church to lack consecration is because of lack of reverence. Reverence, it's a combination of fear and respect towards somebody. And in this case, it's not towards the pastor, it's towards God. Are you still with me? Some people are more reverent in the graveyard than they are in church. I'll repeat this. Some people are more reverent in the graveyard than in church. And where do we need to be reverent? God says to Moses, take off your shoes because where you are standing, it's a holy ground. And the same ways that were spoken to Moses were spoken to Joshua when that captain of the Lord's host said, take off your shoes, you are standing on a holy ground. That means when we come, and taking off shoes was a sign of humility, was a sign that it's a total surrender. Are you still with me? And when was the when we say reverence, when you come into, I mean, if we, for some reason, if we were to put you in the presence of Donald Trump, are you gonna sleep? I'm glad our president yesterday, he was somewhere in Joburg around 12 o'clock, and people were coming to visit, to meet him, and one woman came wearing a gown and pajamas. The president said, hey, when? Go home. It's after 11. You go home and change. I said, oh, goodness, we love what the president is doing. I hope no woman in here wears night attire after 7 or 8 p.m. If I meet you out in the streets wearing that, I will really put you out of church. It's just a sign of insanity. Oh, yes, here in Witbank, the other time I was driving in Iznami, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I actually counted 18 women that were wearing gowns and pajamas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a sign of insanity. Hallelujah. It tells us that you have not bathed. It's unhygienic. Oh, somebody say, is numbing is people in the township. The principals around the schools here in town have issued out communication that parents, when you come to drop off your children at school, don't wear pajamas and gowns. So it's not a specific area. It's a general problem because madness is generic. Amen. I won't go that. We'll go that some other day. If we really meet you, it's even spa, save waste. This spa put out a communication and say, you, if you are wearing night attire, don't come in. Sasol, Mkluzi, I saw the same thing. So even the retail outlets are beginning to see that people are going mad. Now, if the president of the country can send a woman back home and say, you are not dressed properly, you, no, go home. Yep, he kept on saying, you. He spoke for a minute and said, you again. I say, go home. Go and dress properly. Then you want to tell us that in church, when we tell somebody that they're not dressed properly, let me not go there. We have a right. If somebody comes to church dressed immodestly, we have a right to pull that individual aside and say, you forgot the dress. It's not rudeness. It means what? We are standing on holy ground. And holy ground must be respected. Folks, if anyone is going to worship with us, is going to worship with us on our terms. We are not going to come to their terms. They must come to our terms. Because our terms is not our terms, it's God's terms. And how many years have we had these terms? Many years. Are we going to change it because some girl got lost and got into church? And sitting in the middle of brothers with knees showing. We've got a right, as the president said, whisper, go home and change. Politicians are beginning to have a big boat where the church has a wishbone. This message will not lower it, will not dilute it. Our young ones, are you here? This church must be independent from the influence of Facebook and Instagram. I'll repeat. This church must be independent from the influence of Facebook and Instagram. Things that believers post on social media and call it modesty, goodness, even me as a human being, I'll vomit. How much more about God? Right? Because consecration, it means we separate. Even in the olden times, they would even wash themselves. Why? Because consecration, it's a preparation to meet with the deity. It's a preparation to create a sense of sacredness in the camp. You cannot go and meet the Holy God while you still have your gods. You have to destroy your gods because it's a total surrender. You surrender your thoughts, You surrender your habits. You surrender your nonsense. You surrender everything and be wholly surrendered and be consecrated to God. After you have done your part, then God does his part.
Amen.
He says, that's not the way to come to God. Come just as sane as you can come and mean what you are talking about. God will receive you.
Amen.
Do these quotations help?
Amen.
Now, in the message, the Patmos vision. Patmos vision, paragraph 251. Preached this on the 4th of December 1960. 4th December 1960. Paragraph 251. Brother Branham says, cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. Paragraph 251. Cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. I was going to choke it, but I'm going to say it. Man is omnipotent. What does it mean to be omnipotent? Without limitations. That's what the prophet, that's a word, a quotation, verbatim. You don't believe that, because some believe that, because he says, I wanted to say it, but he was reluctant, until he said, but I'm not going to shock it. I'm going to say, man is omnipotent. And he said, you don't believe that, but he is. A man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent.
Amen.
Did he not say in Mark 11:22, whatsoever things you say and don't doubt in your heart, it will come to pass. You can have what you have said. Excuse me. Paragraph 252. What happens when two omnipotents meet? If man is omnipotent and God is omnipotent, what happens when the two meet? But they don't just meet. God doesn't need to consecrate himself, because God is not a sinner. God has never doubted even one time. God is perfect. So that means a man has got to consecrate himself in order to qualify to meet God. And when the two omnipotents meet, when God and man comes together, two omnipotent, something is going to shake.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Why do we bring this convention and say consecration? We want things to be shaken.
Yeah.
We want certain foundations to be shaken. Do you see this young man with this testimony? He has shaken the ancestral belief in the family. Never again shall the father dare to speak about ancestors. Because the young man will say, remember, when the two omnipotent men, when I met with God, the ancestors shook.
Amen.
Whatsoever you would say, with that creative power of omnipotency of God, knowing that he has promised it and he said it in his way, it creates a power that goes out yonder and brings things to pass. Things that are not, it makes them as though they are, because two omnipotents have met.
Amen.
Isn't it beautiful, folks?
Amen.
In this message, fellowship by redemption, paragraph, he preached this on the 3rd of April, 1955. I'm setting the tone for the convention. Do you so that you understand what we mean when we speak about consecration. I have not spoken to the ministers that are going to minister. I have not shared the notes with them. If they read what I've read, we'll say praise be to God.
Amen.
And however way the Spirit lead, let them be led by the Spirit. Now, my son Tebo was asking, are you going to preach, Pastor, during the convention? I said, no, I'm not preaching. He says, why are you not preaching? I say, you don't invite people into your house and you only the only one talk. You invite people so that you can hear them out.
Amen.
Amen. Paragraph 91. Is it the right one? I want it where it says, but a man has a soul, and therefore that soul is a part of God. Hallelujah. Brahman says something very profound in this message, and I want us to go through it together. How many still believe the spoken word is more effective? Amen. Brother Branham's quotations are very, very close to our hearts. He actually says, even in its fallen state, is the greatest species of all the species of the earth is the man. Do we have it? No, it's not the right one. Just say greatest species. Just a fallen state. I need the visual here so that you follow what I'm saying. Just say fallen state, species. Then those keywords will bring it. Species, S-P-E-C-I-E. 101. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Thank you. Let's read it together. Now, only a human being has a soul.
Amen.
And actually, they proved some, I think they did a research some other time where they observed, they put human beings on a scale bed. Now, they put the animals on the same scale bed. They observed that when an animal dies, the weight did not change. But when a human being died, there was a change in the weight. I don't know what made them to conclude that. I'm just sharing it with you. Those that love feeding on the tree of good and knowledge. Now, but a man has a soul. You see, that soul is your real self. Now, and I've said we don't. A lot of people, they say, I have a soul. But I want to change it and say, I am a soul, I have a body. Do you see, it changes the focus.
Yes,
because the focus is not the body. The focus is the one that is in the body.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I don't see you this morning. You don't see me. We are just only able to see one another through the houses in which we stay.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why you can make this to go like this while inside you see. Because I don't see you. Are you still with me?
Amen.
That is why preaching the gospel, we are not preaching to this creature.
Yes.
our gospel has got to penetrate beyond the flesh realm. Amen. And get hold of the real man. Amen. But a man has a soul. And therefore, that soul is a part of God.
And
the soul that sinneth shall die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, even in its fallen state, yet it's the most greatest species of all the species of the earth is the man. Then get him, this fallen man, then get him in connection with his maker.
He becomes a superman.
He doesn't become a church member. He doesn't just become a follower. He becomes a superman. This, then I wondered, because I thought, Brother Mom speaks about a superman, and as I'm speaking about a superman, young ones now awake, is now on a superman. Then I realized that the superman is a concept that was introduced in the 18th century. It's a cartoon. This cartoon, you know, you eat the spinach, and then from there, he develops the superpower. He will go through the wall, he will just with a fist punch the wall, and the whole building will crumble. Oh, it's Popeye. Okay, I got it wrong. Superman is the one that is able to fly.
Yes.
All right. You say I'm safe, I'm not watching cartoons. Amen. So Superman, normally he will do extraordinary things. What does he do? He flies? He normally has got a costume. And what does he do to activate his power? Nothing.
He just changes.
From a man to a superman. You know why I'm asking that? It's because the one that designed the superman is Satan. And Satan is a copycat. That means he must have seen another superman somewhere. Actually, the Superman that you are teaching me about now, he's a fake.
Yes.
The real Supermen are these people.
Yes.
But they become a Superman when they are reconnected back to their maker.
Yes.
Well, what does it mean to be a Superman? That means you've got extraordinary power over circumstances. Extraordinary power over your habits, extraordinary power over demons, extraordinary power over the devil, extraordinary power over sickness, extraordinary power over every situation. But what does it need? A man has got to be reconnected back to the maker, and the message of the hour was here, and I'm saying to the devil, we are reconnected. And what does it mean? We are the super race. Brother, even in his fallen state, he is the greatest species of all the species of the earth. And then get him in connection with his maker. He becomes a superman. Almost, because he is a son of God. He becomes acquainted with his maker. With the creator of all things. What does it mean to acquaint? That means you get exposed to how the Creator works. Have you observed that when you spend time with certain people, the other time I was somewhere and I was speaking to somebody and I realized that, how I spoke is that brother in the boat. How I spoke here is another brother in the boat. Then I said, that means we spend so much time that we influence one another on our mannerism.
True.
Yes. The more you spend time with certain people, you emulate them and they emulate you. Certain vocabulary that you use is because of somebody that is using it. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Even when you are under a pastor and you speak somewhere, certain words are from your pastor you know very well, don't amen. Are we together?
Amen.
When you spend time with each other, you mirror one another. But Brahman says that we need to be careful that we don't catch one another's spirit, but we've got the Holy Ghost. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Now, if we take you and we make you to spend time, me, Brother Philip and Brother David spend time together, over a period of time, when you are with them, you will be able to see that these people are friends. They will use the same gestures because they have observed one another, they've spent time with one another, and somewhat their identities are being fused together. Now, Brother Mum says, when you get acquainted with God, that means the more you spend time with God, that means you begin to use God's vocabulary. You begin to use God's mannerism. Hallelujah. So until you say, goodness, here I spoke like God. Yes, because you spend so much time with God, you are now beginning to sound like God. Does it make sense? He becomes acquainted with his maker, with the creator of all things. Then when that man there, acquainted with his maker, becomes a part of his maker, and becomes back into fellowship with his maker, every divine word becomes a living reality to him, and he believes it. So sometimes if a person is not acquainted with God, if a person is not part of the maker, if a person is not back in fellowship with the maker, it will be difficult to make them to believe the reality of the divine word of God.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
But as I conclude, we're going into the conference with an attitude that God, whatever you are about to do, don't do it without us.
Amen.
Whatever program that you have and you say it's a program of the day, let it not exclude Lighthouse. If for us to be part of that program, we need to sacrifice certain things, we are more than willing to sacrifice anything that may prevent us from becoming part of the program of the day.
Amen.
Then when you come in such a manner, you will see God will move among you. As the brother was praying this morning, you will be able to rewrite the book of Acts. What makes you to rewrite the book of Acts is because they went into the upper room. They were separated for a number of days. They were in prayer. They were in one accord. They consecrated themselves, and God responded from heaven. We are the living. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. What does it mean? God, if you need a specific tool to be used for your kingdom, I'm available. We are going to be the tools of the kingdom of God, that whatever God you want to do, come through us, we are available. If you want to sing to people, we are available. If you want to preach to people, we are available. If you want to save a sinner, we are available. If you want to pray for a sick person, we are available. We are not going to be a half-hearted church.
Amen.
Brother, just say half-hearted Christians. No, the brother will bring it up here. I'm glad you are awake. It makes preaching much easier. Amen. Is in the message the total deliverance? Then after I'm going to release you. I hope I've set the tone for the convention.
Amen.
I hope we are aligned in terms of what we need to do and what are the expectations. Total deliverance. We are. It says, if our hearts condemn us not, we want a total deliverance. total deliverance from everything. Amen. Then, after this quotation, I promise you, you are on your way home. If we just go to total deliverance, just bring the spoken word total deliverance, I'll tell you as we scroll. Let's go all the way down. Just drag the cursor all the way down. All the way down. All the way towards the end of the spoken word. Okay. Again. The brothers that were helping us, which paragraph is it? If our hearts condemn us not, we need total deliverance from our unbelief. There we go. That's right. No, that's correct. Just go up. Okay, it's fine. Just go 7:7. It's fine. Shall we read it together? If our hearts condemn us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want to be halfway church. If Bram says we don't want to be halfway church, there are halfway churches. So we don't want to be halfway churches. We want to be a real church or no church at all. Brother Bram says certain churches have made people to lose a taste of Christianity by how they live. We want to be real Christians or no Christians at all. Amen. We want total deliverance from our habits. A habit is formed by saying this, you do it, then you do it, then you do it, then it becomes a habit. So we want to break. Late coming is a bad habit. Someone was telling me that certain people, if we were to meet them and we've got an appointment with them at the place, they would give you a call and say, where have you parked? They give you impressions as if they are looking for a parking while they are still leaving the house. Hallelujah. Don't you just laugh when you've made an appointment with somebody, 10 minutes of the appointment, they are there. There used to be a premier in the sometime back to Kesuhali. Whenever he made an appointment with a person, if a person doesn't pitch 5 minutes into the appointment, he would leave. And from there, he will send an invoice to your office and say, you need to feed the pig. That means they said you are charged a certain amount to donate to a charity because you wasted this time. You need to pay for that time, but you need to donate it to the poor. Oh, if we were to do it in this church, some will go broke. I'll leave it there. We want to be real Christians or no Christians at all. We want to, is it all of us reading? Is it all of wanting this? We want total deliverance from our habits. From our sins. This sin doesn't mean that you went last night and committed adultery. It is sin means unbelief. There were moments where you had to totally believe, but you doubted. That's a sin. I heard in some other church, a brother was asked to come and pray and open with a word of prayer. And the brother was praying and says, "Father, forgive our sins." It is in the Message Church. After he prayed, the deacons called him aside and said, "Don't you ever say, 'God, Father, forgive our sins.' You want to give an impression to visitors that we are sinners? Because why? They don't understand what is sin." How many times did Brother Branham had to repent because of his unbelief? How many of you had to repent because of your unbelief? Adultery is not a sin, it's the result of unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. From our evil thinking. Somebody think evil thinking, it means that I thought about somebody dead or I thought about committing adultery. It doesn't mean like that. Sometimes you, when God has called you towards a certain purpose and you are thinking below the realms at which God expects you to operate, it becomes evil thinking. If God says you are reconnected back to me as a super, as a maker, it makes you a superman, but you keep on crying over little things. That's evil thinking. Bad mindset. From our evil doing. From our negligence. Whatever we have done. We want total deliverance. Total deliverance doesn't come without total consecration. Total consecration doesn't come without total surrender. Total surrender doesn't come without total repentance. Then when you put total, everything becomes total. So that when people come into this church, folks, not other church, this church. I can't speak for other churches. I'm speaking for this church. To be prayed for. There will just be this little group. Maybe not over 100 or two. Sitting here. But they will be completely in the hands of God. And when we pray, then God will hear from heaven. I think we are here because we want God to hear us from heaven. And if we are coming here and we pray and God does not hear from heaven and we don't even care whether he hears, then we need to close the church. Did you hear me? Then that means the church is not serving the purpose. It needs to be shut down. And I'm saying, we need to, Brahma said, either we become Christians or no Christians at all. Either we become a church or no church at all. We are not going to have something in between. It must be what it was intended to be. What is the commission of the church? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If the sick are being laid hands upon and they do not recover, something is wrong. That's why people today, they say, why does it seem like the miracles that used to happen when Brother Branham was around, they are not happening? It's because we don't have the same degree of consecration that the same man of God had. And that is why we are calling the people back to consecrated life. Amen. When we pray, then God will hear from heaven. God wants somebody that he can get a hold in his hands. Somebody that he can say, I've got confidence in. I can send it this, my sixth servant. To the Lighthouse Tabernacle. In Imalatlin. I'm not saying this is not time for Branham Tabernacle. They can read for themselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. God is not only at Branham Tabernacle, God is universal. Are you with me?
Amen.
And somebody say, why Branham says, Branham Tabernacle is a lighthouse tabernacle? No, he knew that we are coming.
Amen.
We've got a share in this promise.
Amen.
And that group of people are in one accord. What brings one accord? I'm working towards closing. Closing is empathy.
Amen.
Believers, when what? Let me. You are of different races, different nationalities, different tribal backgrounds. What makes us to come together like this and worship like this in one accord? It has to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that what is a joke in Zulu language can become offensive in Shona language?
Yes.
There is a pastor with a funny name in South Africa. You know him. I will not say it behind the pulpit for the sake of my Shona people. But you know that a lot of South Africans, how they speak, they just speak about it wherever. Until every time they speak and say, Pastor so-and-so, Shona people say, what? Because what it means in their language, it's a sore weight. You can ask them after the service and say, what was the pastor talking about? He's a very short pastor. Yeah. In Vosulo Ras. Very short. That one. His surname in Shona, it's a very sore weight. But in South African language, it's not a problem. Now, if that happens, how much more among ourselves, where this one in his language, it doesn't mean a problem. But this one, it's offense. Why? The Holy Ghost must come and bring a balance. That's why, if you think you're gonna be who's this Trevor Noah in the message, it's not gonna work. Certain jokes that you make are not going to be jokes at all.
Yes,
they will be offensive to certain people. Are you still with me?
Yes.
We brothers, when we come together, we can share jokes, maybe even about our body structure. But you can never say that to a woman. The world over, they are talking about something that they call emotional intelligence. They are even taking people on a course to orientate them about emotional intelligence. About emotional intelligence, they simply say, you become aware of your environment. When you become aware, you know what to say, how to say it, when to say it. But they even made a course, and people are paying millions, thousands of rents for that course. But we know emotional intelligence, it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the believer. And I'm saying, we don't need emotional intelligence. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, before you speak, the Holy Ghost will determine what comes out of your mouth that will not offend your brother. How many here have attended the heard about emotional intelligence? If you know that about it, sorry. But it's very important. Even when you come, for example, I'll give you an example. If I visit Brother Dipati and we laugh at his house, the jokes that he and I enjoy, I cannot go to Brother Watt's house and we enjoy the same jokes. And I could not say, hey, I was with Brother Watt. Brother Philip is going to love this. They are two different. Isn't so? I wish.
Yes.
But what makes you to have that engagement and know what to say, not how to say? It's not a course that I need to put you on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. That group of people are one accord. That group of people are one accord. I don't want to move here for some reason. In this church, when we see a person coming to church, we celebrate. We are happy that, brother, because coming to church, it means you overcame the devil for that day. Because every day the devil on Sunday doesn't want somebody to go to church. So if you made it just by coming to church, you've already defeated Satan. Amen. Now, we don't care whether the suit that you're wearing this Sunday is the same that you wore last Sunday and that other Sunday. If you're wearing the same suit, it's none of our business. I'll repeat that. And no one, you owe no one any explanation. Do you hear me? And if anyone makes a joke that, when you are always wearing the same suit, you don't even bring that person to the deco. You bring that person to my office. I will tell them to sit at home until they become sober. Because this is not a beauty contest. This is a hospital for sinners. Can I get an amen on that one? I know some people get wounded by what people say. Has somebody ever offended you? And when they saw that you were offended, they wanted to make it like it's a joke? It's even more irritating. Because at least if I have offended Brother Philip, and Brother Philip says, and I say, brother, and he sees that I'm offended, the least that I could say is to say, brother, I'm very sorry. Forgive me. But if you say, brother, you can't take a joke, do you think everything is funny? What breaks one accord in church is lack of sensitivities. And what brings lack of sensitivities is a lack of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The other time, I'm not going to move here so that you understand. If I stay in a shack and Brother Clement stays in a shack and there is a storm in Witbank and I wake up in the morning and I meet Brother Clement, I say, brother, did your shack survive? I was thinking about your shack last night that yours is really going. Is he going to be offended? It's a joke. But if I stay in a mansion and I meet Brother Clement, who stays in a shack, I say, hey, last night I was thinking about your shack that it will go. And even if I stay in a shack, he stays in a shack, and we joke, and you happen to stay in a beautiful house, and you hear us sharing a joke, and you meet Brother Clement, you thought that he laughed because it was me. He's not going to laugh. Why am I giving an example of this? It's because you need a certain level of sensitivity to be able to mingle with people without offending people. And it does not take human intelligence. It takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope somebody heard me and heard me correctly. When they are in one accord, something that is will happen. What will happen? Healing, unity, blessings, the supernatural channel is unblocked, so all blessings are just coming. We say, God, we want to be overflown by your blessings. We'll do whatever is required for a consecrated life. May God richly bless you. As we stand to our feet,
Amen. Let's worship God and say, I don't know whether we should say, Brother Kuni, I give myself away. I give myself away. The greatest gift that you could ever give unto God is your life. Your life is the best offering that you can give to the Almighty God.
I surrender all to you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Everything I give to you.
Everything I give it to you. We are withholding nothing this morning. Agree with the song. We are withholding nothing.
So you can do. So you can do. Oh, I give.
I surrender all. If they can bring up on the screen, we'll just sing only the chorus. All to Jesus I give.
I surrender all. Oh,
a sign of surrender. When you raise your hands, you surrender.
I surrender.
You're going to cut music. You're going to cut music.
God, all over the building, every voice to the Almighty God, every head bowed. I surrender all, Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord, I surrender all.
Surrender everything. Surrender everything. We can do it one more time in the presence of the Almighty God. We are declaring, we surrender all. We surrender our unbelief. We surrender our heaviness. We surrender our thoughts. Everything to the Almighty God. It's a total surrender. All to Thee. Withhold nothing. Withhold nothing. Withhold nothing. Give it all to the Lord Jesus. Let it go this morning. Let it go. God is here. God is in the building. The Almighty God is here. One more time. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, we all need to surrender to the Almighty God. It's not to the man, it's the very one that died for you. Total surrender. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Let's harm it. Total surrender. 100% surrender. So God, use me in an optimal way. Use me like you have never used me before. I'm available. Move into my life, move into my family's life, move into every area of my life, because I'm reconnected back to my Maker. I need to be a superman. I need to be a superwoman. There are certain trials that overwhelmed me, but now I'm surrendering everything to the Almighty God. My pride, everything, my dignity, everything, I'm surrendering it to the Almighty God. Total surrender. Complete surrender. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Creator of heavens and earth. Thank you for such mercy in the end time. Thank you for such love, such care. Sometimes we fail, oh God, but you never fail us. But now there is a total surrender. Acknowledging Thee of Thy sovereignty. You can be in prayer in your own way. Speak to Him, He hears. He doesn't only hear, He responds. The greatest words that a human being can ever say to God is say, "Help me, God." Not much saying, "Help me, God. I need you." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hear their prayers. Hear their pleas. Respond to their needs. Thank you for this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen, Lord Jesus. Pass me not, gentle Savior, Sister Divine. Pass us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hear my humble cry. The falling. one more last time. Savior, Savior. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. Amen. Dear God, what a grand privilege to be called a child of God. Amen. It does not come cheaply. It took the blood that was shed on Calvary. And that is why we are praising you in the manner that we praise thee. But Lord, as the song says, help my unbelief. Many a times we go through trials, and sometimes those trials make us to not believe. That is why we say, forgive us, dear God. Yes. Heavenly Father, we've got special meetings that are coming. Ministers will be traveling. They've spent time in the study, yes, checking the spoken words, reading the scriptures. But dear God, that is just the human element. We need you to step in with the supernatural element. Amen. That whatever messages that are being prepared, let it be you preparing those messages through them. Many of them, believers, would be traveling from afar, coming this way. We need the traveling mercy. And dear God, we want this whole convention to go in a very harmonious way, that you, God, may come to that convention. Many times we send so many invitations to so many people, and they may come, but if you, God, do not come, the whole thing will be in vain. We want to commit everything to you, and we bind every demonic force that may be about against the special meetings. We want the believers to be in such one accord. Because last time when believers were in such one accord, the mighty wind came rushing down from heaven. We want you, Lord, to come once more. I remember when Solomon dedicated to the temple, the glory of God filled up the entire temple. May it happen again, Heavenly Father. Those that will come that are sick, may there be such instant healing, dear God. Lord, we know that you are still in the business of miracles. No matter what the devil is doing through the mockery in the end time, I believe that, dear God, there are still genuine miracles. There are still genuine healing, dear God. That is why we want to commit everything to you. Here are the believers that will be living, going to their respective homes, granting them the traveling mercy. As they come to the convention, let them come with great expectations. Help us, dear God, to go through the week. Let it be a moment of reflection. Let it be a moment of prayer. Let it be a moment of commitment. Let it be a moment of consecration. And Lord, we know that when we meet, and all of us who have been in our prayer closet, you are certainly going to do something marvelous, dear God. We want you to do things to show to the world that you are alive. I commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. As it is announced, Wednesday we are not here. Friday we are starting 9 o'clock, 4 o'clock, two services every day. Until Sunday, all in total 6 services. Amen. And then we are back here in this church that Wednesday after the convention. Amen. Okay.
keep on praying for the ministers, pray for the meetings. Amen. Brothers that are available to help with the setup on Thursday, no matter.
Oh,